San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Easter Sunday, April 17, 2022. Today's lesson is Rise in Wonder with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Huh? At that level we can.
Okay, I'll stay at this level. You'll all hear me. Welcome. Happy Easter.
Happy
21st birthday.
Ooh.
Don't you feel grown up? Maybe we should have brought some wine today. Today is a very special day. The San Diego Center for Spiritual Living is an interfaith congregation, an interfaith teaching, where we honor and respect and care for and support all the religions of the world insofar as they have common ground. If you look at all the religions of the world and you look at what is their mysticism, what is the underlying truth of their faith? If you take away all the man-made rules, what is left? And we call that the golden thread. And this Easter Sunday, is the very basis of the entire Christian population of the world. So today we're going to be honoring Easter Sunday. And we're going to be honoring our 21st anniversary because we here at the center have had a few resurrections of our own. So what is Easter and why do we celebrate it? We celebrate it because it truly is the core of all Christianity. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, was a Jewish man. And he lived way back, way, way back, so far back that we created our calendars based on his birth. So that is the defining moment before Jesus of Nazareth was born and after Jesus of Nazareth was born. And why would we do that? Why would we set our worldwide calendars on the birth of a man? Because he was a man unlike any other. We have to go back a little bit in history to Passover. And remember when the Jewish people were enslaved in Egypt and there was the last event of the many miracles so that Moses could lead the people out of Egypt, out of enslavement. And that holy day of Passover is tied to Easter. It's like a precursor to Easter. When they had Passover, all the Jewish people were told, get a hyssop branch and take the blood of this sacred lamb and use the hyssop branch to spread the blood on your door frame. So the angel of death won't come. The angel of death would see that and would pass over, would not harm that house. We'll just turn that off until later. So when the angel of death passed over, it was giving new life to the Jews in Egypt the new life of freedom so they could go back home. So keep that in mind. That's what Passover is. Now, Jesus was born, and we celebrate his birth at what we call Christmas. And that's the second holiest day on the Easter calendar, Christmas. But first holiest is Easter. Because at Christmas, he was born into human form. On Easter, he was reborn. He was resurrected from the dead and returned to life, communed with his disciples. People saw him. There are reports in the Bible. And then he went on to reconnect with his heavenly Father. All of Jesus' teachings we look at as Jesus being the way shower. He is the example, not the exception. He is an example of what our lives can be when we truly embrace the knowledge that we are one with the divine, that we could only be created out of one thing, and that's the same stuff that God used, that Spirit used, that the Creator used, the Source used to create everything itself. There is no God and then that. Because God is all there is. That means everything you see here is made of God stuff. When you look in a mirror, you're looking at God stuff. The mirror and you. So, Passover and Easter are two holy events that are divinely connected. Dr. Stephen Abigail Albert wrote this back in 2013, and I thought it would be appropriate to share with you. The great Master Rabbi Yeshua celebrated the Passover before his death and resurrection. He was the way shower for many of the Jewish people at the time and the way shower for Christians who came later. Today, we all can celebrate the liberation of the Jewish people from physical slavery as Moses led his people out of Egypt. If that did not happen, there may not have been a Jesus. We can also celebrate the freedom that comes when we leave fear-based thoughts behind in order to live a life of love and joy. What we do, say, and think affects the world. We do make a difference. We do make a difference. So if you're with me so far, yes or yes?
Yes.
Yes, all right. We're going to have an affirmation. So please place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today, I am lifted up. I am alive, awake, and aware of a new revelation of my divine ability to rise above any limitation, to fulfill the promise of my divine and spiritual magnificence. And so it is. You have done something very amazing. You have just claimed your own resurrection. You have claimed your own resurrection. Now, you've noticed that our anniversary changes dates because Easter changes dates because Passover changes dates. So Easter is based on the same calendar, the lunar calendar, that Passover is based on. It's the first Sunday after the first full moon following the vernal equinox, or the summer equinox. So this is the first Sunday. The full moon was just the other night. I saw it. It was glorious. And of course, we've already had March 21st, which was the vernal equinox, the beginning of spring, the beginning of spring. So this date has great astronomical significance as well as its religious significance. There's also a lot of symbology in the resurrection, in Easter. And when we look at what that symbology is, I want to remind everybody, just as Ernest Holmes has told us before, God is not separate from what he is doing. The divine life is in everyone and everything. God is not separate from what is happening. Everything that's happening is God in action. Pretty cool, right? So there's lots of symbology with Easter. The Easter lily is very symbolic. Phineas Parkhurst Quimby is the father of New Thought, which religious science, divine science, unity, the truth church, many of those are part of what we call New Thought. The New Thought being Jesus is the example, not the exception. So I thought you might like to know about the Easter lily. Anybody want to know about the Easter lily? Anybody else? Okay. The Easter lily is symbolic of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Churches of all denominations, large and small, are filled with floral arrangements of the white flowers with their trumpet-like shape on Easter morning. The flower is frequently represented in stained glass windows, either in memory of someone or to signify hope, purity, and life everlasting. The importance of the Easter lily is a time-honored tradition that includes both ancient mythology and biblical history. White lilies have been associated with the Virgin Mary as they have with Christ. Early paintings depicted the angel Gabriel presenting Mary with white lilies while announcing that she would give birth to Jesus Christ. I didn't know that. That was new to me. The most famous biblical reference comes from the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus was speaking to the crowd and said to consider the lilies of the field. Another tradition is that the lilies sprang up in the Garden of Gethsemane after Jesus prayed there during his final hours. They are referred to as the white-robed apostles of hope in commemoration of the resurrection. Did anybody know all that? Well, good. We all learned something new today. Something pretty amazing. And when I was looking it up, I thought the trumpeting, the message, the messenger, the angel at the stone when it was rolled away saying, he is not here, he is not dead. The angel Gabriel, Mary, you're going to have God as your little boy. You know, just the message, the trumpet. Joseph Campbell I love Joseph Campbell. You know, he's an amazing thinker, an amazing writer, and he has so many things that he writes about that I think, wow, I didn't think of that. He's got a good point. So he's a good person to study, Joseph Campbell. He believes that the crucifixion is also symbolism. He says if we think of the crucifixion only in historic terms, we lose the reference of the symbol immediately to ourselves. Joseph Campbell writes, Jesus left his immortal body on the cross, a sign of the earth, to go to the Father with whom he was one. We similarly are to identify with the eternal life that is within us. The symbol at the same time tells us of God's willing acceptance of the cross, that is to say, of participation in the trials and sorrows of human life in the world, so that he is here within us, not by way of a fall or by way of a mistake, but with rapture and joy. Thus, the cross has a dual sense. One, our going to the divine, and the other, the divine coming into us. It is a true crossing. I told you he has different ways of looking at things, and I find them fascinating. Joseph Campbell also wrote, what has always been basic to resurrection or Easter is crucifixion. If you want to resurrect, you must have crucifixion. Too many interpretations of the crucifixion have failed to emphasize that. They emphasize the calamity of the event. If you emphasize calamity, then you look for someone to blame. This is why people have blamed the Jews for it. But it is not a calamity if it leads to new life. Through the crucifixion, we are unshelled. We are able to be born to resurrection. That's not a calamity. We must look freshly at this so its symbolism can be sensed. Saint Augustine speaks of going to the cross as a bridegroom to his bride. There's an affirmation here. In the Prado is a great painting by Titian of Simon of Cyrene as he willingly helps Jesus with the cross. You remember that? Someone helped him carry the cross. The picture captures the human participation, the free, voluntary participation we all must have in the Easter Passover mystery. Voluntary participation. Why do we have to volunteer? Because nobody can save us. Nobody else can make us become aware of our inner divine nature. Nobody. I can stand here and I can tell you. You can read a book and it can tell you. But until you sit and think about it and dwell on it inside yourself and understand that the divine is who you are, how you are, what you are, that recognition and realization has to come from within. If we could do it for other people, that actually would not be a good thing, because then we could do all kinds of other things to people that might not be so pleasant. And of course, we all know that the resurrection is the ultimate symbolism, right? Jean Houston is a great writer, and she has written many books that I love. I believe she wrote World Religions that I studied in, at home, and I snagged it to use as supplemental reading for my practitioner studies, and it was in my ministerial studies. So yeah, it's something I've been interested in for a long time. In fact, when I was in college getting my degrees in computer science, all my electives were religion. All of them were. It fascinated me. So at this point after my computer science career, to be a minister is like, well, okay, I can see that. So Jean Houston wrote, Resurrection is essentially a remembrance of one's true nature and a waking up to this remembrance. A remembrance of one's true nature and a waking up to this remembrance. Resurrection is the hearing of the message that unlocks our latent informational systems. Our deep evolutionary coding, our human coding that, of course, is God coding, is evoked by this new awareness, and more of our internal systems are recruited for the whole system transformation. Many people believe and teach that within ourselves, within our DNA, within every cell of our body, is divine wisdom. That every cell of our body knows everything there is to know because every cell is made up of the divine presence. So that's where she's going with this, involving more of your systems, more of your spiritual memory, more of your soul memory, more of your waking up to say, oh, why does that ring true to me? Why does it feel like a memory instead of a new revelation? She says, what then takes place is a change that accelerates exponentially to such a degree that is not the same body, brain, psyche. In this form of resurrection, latent evolutionary systems have awakened to full manifestation. What happened? You woke up. You became aware of who you are, of the divine presence. And once you sense that presence, there's no making it go away. You can't forget it. As Reverend John used to say, guaranteed or your consciousness back, as if we could ever go back to our older consciousness once we have something new, once we become aware of something new, once we embrace and embody that wholeness of the divine within, that awareness of the divine within. And sometimes it comes with a laugh, and sometimes it comes with a, whoa, now I get it. Whew, I could have done better, because I knew better, but I didn't realize I knew better until I experienced this. And once we experience this, we go, what was I thinking? And there's the $64 million question. What was I thinking? Because everything that we think, that we embrace, that we believe to be true, is shows up in our life. Shows up in our life. So that's why we want to be careful. Be careful what we wish for. Think about what we're thinking about. Remember that you have within you all the power of the universe to create. That's pretty heady stuff. So create what you want. Meister Eckhart said, "The eye by which I see God is the same eye by which God sees me." The eye by which I see God is the same eye by which God sees me. Has to be. It has to be. It's just that the divine eyes don't have the distraction of what the human mind tries to put between God and itself. It's as if we think, well, yeah, God is all there is. I get that. But then I look in the mirror and there's me. And that's certainly not God. Well, I beg to differ. That is God. You are looking at God when you look in the mirror. When you look at each other, you are looking at God, at the many magnificent and glorious ways that God is rising in every form, in every bit of love, every activity God, Spirit, Source, the Creator is right there, everywhere, right here, within me, within each one of you. Do you think it's by chance that we have beautiful weather today? No. This is our Sunday, our Easter Sunday, our perfect Easter Sunday. And so everything about it is perfect by definition. I mentioned that we as a center have had our own resurrections, our own crucifixions. And that's true. We were founded on Easter Sunday in 2001 by Dr. Gordon Bishop. We were founded as the Downtown Community Church. And Dr. Bishop was just finishing up his ministerial education. And as he had been doing that, he was working with Holmes Institute. He was an educator and a superintendent of schools. And so we had Holmes Institute that was a nice to have sweet little seminary that didn't count for anything except to us. So Gordon, Dr. Bishop, worked with the accrediting agencies, and he got Holmes Institute accredited as a remote learning, distance education kind of a thing. So we had in-person classes, but the majority of our classes were listening to CDs and having phone calls, right? So we got accreditation. That was wonderful. Well, long about 2005, we had the Downtown Community Church. He was our senior minister. We also had Reverend Michael Carney at the time. And Reverend John Pileski had started speaking on the fifth Sundays. So Gordon decides to retire. He's going to retire. And Michael Carney decides to move to Palm Springs. So who's going to lead our church? This is our crucifixion. We're losing our anchor. So what happened is Dr. Gordon Bishop invited Reverend John Pileski to lead our church. And that is how we resurrected. We got a new minister, Reverend John Pileski, which made me happy. That was about 6 months before I married him. In our journal that we're following for our themes this year, for the month of April, it's creativity, and Albert Einstein wrote, "Creativity is intelligence having fun." Creativity is intelligence having fun. And that's what we're doing here. This is divine intelligence. We're having fun. I am. I think this is great. Here we are, celebrating, sharing wisdom, being with like-minded others. That's pretty powerful. Now, in that journal, there's an affirmation for today, and it's really nice, but I didn't think it was big enough. But then you can say, well, gee, Connie, who are you to judge how big an affirmation is? This tiny little one here is pretty powerful. So I'm going to share it with you. Daily I rise in wonder. Daily I rise in wonder, gratitude, power, and glory. Daily I rise in wonder, gratitude, power, and glory. And that's pretty amazing right there. We rise in wonder of the everyday wonder that is all around us. Just waking up is another miracle. And so we can be thankful for that. Grateful that the world is here. We can understand that all the power of the universe is right within us. And we can use it. And we can think of the glory. The trumpets, the lilies, the trumpets, all the good that is all here. And that is expressing all over the glory, the beauty of flowers, of music, of life. So our second resurrection, Reverend John passed away in 2017, and we were not holding services. So what were we going to do? In 2018, I started holding services again, because people were asking for them. You know, we could have just passed away, not been a center anymore. But people wanted to see the living truth, the living love, the unconditional love that this center is. And so we just started having services again. So those are our two resurrections, which have nothing to do with, you know, tiny little crucifixions and resurrections. Anytime any of us decide to let go of something that is no longer working for us and embrace the truth of who we are, to rise up, to experience our own rebirth, our own spiritual renewal, our own resurrection. I want to close this morning's lesson with something wonderful from Ernest Holmes. He wrote a book, Journey into Life, and I put a copy of this in each of your programs. Ernest Holmes wrote about Easter, and he said, "Today the horizon is clear. The voyage starts anew. We are reborn. The true resurrection is not only from this life into the next. It takes place daily and hourly as we shed limited concepts of life and come into the vineyard to gather the fruit of the Spirit hanging rich from the vines of God. A person may be reborn, remade, and renewed in mind and body just through taking a little time to get acquainted with his better self, just through coming to realize the invisible and almost unknown guest that accompanies everyone through life, the spiritual presence within. We should resurrect ourselves to the joy and simplicity and spontaneity of life and leave the corpses of our dead yesterdays in the tomb of their own obscurity. We should live more abundantly in God this day, when we shall come out of our tomb of ignorance and disbelief. How glorious shall be the dawn." We're getting ready for our second song. So let us rise in wonder and celebrate together the divine life that is ours for the claiming. Thank you for your time and attention. Namaste.